Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast definitely contains strong language and spoilers. Hello and welcome back for all you who've listened to the last episode, which was Inception, and welcome to any new listeners you might have. My name is Hayley, and this podcast is Hayley Watches, which is basically based on me watching films that Colin set for me I've never seen before. Last week was Inception, and this time round we're watching The Quiet Place.
Yeah, we've gone international as well, did you know that?
Oh, no.
We're on two continents. We have listeners in America, Sweden,
hello,
France.
Everyone.
So, not only did people actually listen, which is a big enough surprise, but they did so in places around the world. So, yeah. If you're listening in America, howdy. Americans say that, don't they?
I suppose.
Yes, I suppose.
Hi.
Y'all. Yeah, that was the American audience. They've gone.
Yeah, they've gone now.
Left us.
Congratulations.
Oh, never mind.
It was worth a punt, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had two.
Awesome.
At least. Maybe even three.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Mind blown.
Absolute mind blown. Just happy people listen.
Yeah, anyone will do. Timbuktu, if you're out there.
So after reviewing and listening back on the Inception podcast, I think I realised that I spent 3 hours of my life not understanding the whole film.
Yeah, you didn't get much. The podcast was more Colin explains the plot of Inception rather than Hayley watches Inception.
The amount of notes I took.
Yeah, not as many as I thought for you. I thought we'd have like pads full of notes. I thought you'd be writing down every line in the film, but you did take a lot and didn't make much sense of them.
No. So I hope this one's still as amusing.
What, because you sort of know what happened in this film?
Yes.
This one won't be as funny because Hayley's got a clue what happened.
Oh,
she
dear.
Thinks anyway, let's see.
Well, who knows? So I'll continue with the Paul Robbing description from Netflix.
Yeah, that worked well.
Yeah, Netflix is not responsible, so that'd be amazing. So it said, before you click play,
be a Netflix-only podcast.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I don't know.
Seriously, if you want to.
If you in America happen to work for Netflix, shoot us an email.
That's hilarious. well, I think so anyway.
And also incredibly modest.
So before Colin pressed play, it came up with a little mini description, which said, don't speak, don't cry, don't make the faintest sound of any kind if you want to live one more day.
Mm.
I'll be dead in seconds.
Second, yes, literally seconds. Our whole household would have died the minute it started.
Yeah.
You'd have fallen over something and gone, ah, fuck, really loud, and that, gone.
Gonna. Gonna, gonna.
Me and the kids would have died from flatulence. Just the three of us all farting at once and then gone. We're out of here.
Dead. So as the description says about this podcast is I have actually genuinely been actively avoiding watching this film for 4 years.
I've mentioned watching it many, many times, and you found every excuse under the sun to not watch it.
Yeah.
So, I think you've managed to watch all 10 series of Friends.
Easily 10 times.
10 times at least. But not found time to watch a film you've never seen before because you were so terrified of watching it.
Yeah. So, Colin jumped for the chance to watch this. I think the reason behind it is because I actually generally struggle with suspense films and jumpy films a lot. I just can't stand them.
Tension. You're not good with tension.
No. And I think that's why I knew I'd avoid it, because I just would suffer the whole way through.
This film is just tense for an hour and a half.
Which I generally did suffer the whole way through.
Yes, you did.
But, like, my general go-to rule when I watch any film that's sort of suspense-based, jumpy, or like generally quite cringy, like a really awkward, embarrassing bit, even like rom-coms, I just fast-forward it. Skip that bit and then just carry on watching a film that I really enjoy.
So I have to take the remote.
Yeah, because I would have just fast-forwarded quite a lot of this film and then it would be the most boring podcast in the whole world.
You know, they're constantly doing the 10-second skip on YouTube.
Yeah.
Skip. Oh, an advert. Oh, break.
So, like, yeah, so going back to the whole you can't make a single sound, I think it would be dead in seconds because you couldn't, like, stub your toe.
No.
No, you couldn't drop something, you'd be dead.
Yeah, that's what would be you in. Something clumsy.
This would be horrendous. So, the film opens with a little sort of title, I suppose you could say, saying day 89.
Yeah.
And
88 and a half days after we died.
Yeah.
We have a film.
The survivors, here we are. So at this particular point, I was really, really nervous. I put on a little nervy fart.
Again, instant death.
Instant death. And I did start choking on the crisp.
You did. More instant death.
Yeah.
Just highlighting the fact that you would not have survived.
Yeah, actual general death, like straight out. And this is kind of proven. So they're based on opening scenes inside a completely empty shop, isn't it? And there's still bits around. Just basically, there's not a lot of survivors.
No,
that shop was still relatively well stocked.
After 89 days, that was not well looted.
No, at all.
You had loads of weight in that time.
Exactly. Yeah, you would have done. And it sort of shows the point of how quiet it got to be, because she really gently picks up this little pot of pills she's fallen over. Amongst those other pills, might I add, I don't understand why she had to go for what was on the floor, or like laying on the floor, but laying down on the gel.
Did you can't pick what medicine's fallen over, like that was the one she needed. She didn't lay it down and then be like, that's what I need, I'll lay it down and then I'll just check the rest and pick it up. It just was already in that position.
I just thought I was like a bit ridiculous. I was like, just show the one standing up, love, and just picked up.
Made life harder for yourself there by laying it down. No, I think it just happened to be in that position.
Yeah. So you see, like, this kid running around, which I initially, at the first point, thought it might have been the neighbour.
You jump straight away.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is that? And you're like, a child.
Just a kid. Just a kid running around.
Yeah, but fine. But there's no noise. There's no, like, noise, really, and there's no music. It's really quiet.
Yeah.
Really, really quiet. It's quite disconcerting, isn't it?
Sets the tone for the film straight away.
Yeah, it really does.
The film's called A Quiet Place, and it's literally going to be the quietest film you've ever watched in your life.
This is like a public service announcement, really, is don't eat your snacks.
Yeah, don't buy crisps to watch this film, because the film is so silent that you won't be able to concentrate, because all you can hear is the sound of you eating crisps in your own head. Or in your case, choking on crisps, because you're failing to eat them because you're so scared.
Could you imagine paying money to go see that in the cinema back pre-COVID times, when you could, and someone like sitting there rattling a sweet, you'd be like, seriously, shut the fuck up.
You'd throw something.
You'd have
to throw something.
Like, you're ruining the moment.
I was sat on the sofa watching it, and all I could hear in my own brain was, I just want to eat my sour cream and chive crisps. But no, I'm deafening myself.
Oh, Lord. So, one of the characters, the daughter, she's deaf. And you said that the actual actress herself is deaf.
The actress herself is deaf, which I only found out an hour ago.
Oh, amazing.
Because I suddenly had a thought. In the Inception one, you forgot the names of a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to remind you of what people's names were.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly thought, I don't remember what people's names are in A Quiet Place. And then I thought, pretty sure they don't ever take the time to tell you what the characters' names are.
I Googled it as well, really. Yeah. Today, too.
Yeah, I Googled it an hour before we started.
Spooky, isn't it?
And then that's when it came up that he made a point of making sure that the actress who played the deaf girl was actually deaf and not pretending.
Amazing.
Because then it would give him a better understanding of how she would react the actual scenario.
Yeah. So I feel like that family has quite an advantage in a way because they already knew sign language.
Yeah.
To communicate with their daughter. But I actually do think that she would have had actually even more of a disadvantage because you can hear, as someone who can hear, bangs or the sound you're making as you're walking, and she really doesn't, so she's got to use another kind of a sense to...
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, yeah, the family, as one, have sort of got an advantage with the sign language, so they can communicate silently, which is probably how they all be intact after 89 days. But then, yeah, on the flip side, she doesn't know if she's making a sound when she walks, or obviously if she drops something, she knows she's making noise, but what if she walks and isn't looking where she's walking and tripped on a leaf? Like, yeah. She doesn't know unless she has somehow developed some sort of sense of pressure on her feet.
Yeah.
You'd like to know if my foot goes like that, is that probably making it? But yeah.
They don't have any shoes on, do they?
No, they've laid paths of sand
at the level,
which is clever. Yeah.
Genius. But that's me fighting quite a bit later on, only like a little bit further on. But my point was, there's a clip with the daughter and the littlest boy.
Yeah.
And he draws in the ground the spaceship and says that's how they're going to get away, is in the spaceship. And again, in this really well stocked shop, there's a.
Massively overstocked, isn't it?
It is. It's like a space shuttle toy, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
Which he brings over to show the dad, and he's like, really dramatically, oh my days, that toy's got batteries.
Yeah, he's so really, like, it's as if he's a child carrying a loaded gun, isn't it? He's like, whoa, everybody freeze, let me look at this, no way, batteries in it. And then he really takes his time gently removing the battery to not set the toy off.
I mean, Jesus, we have so many of those noisy toys. Like, our kids are obsessed with emergency service vehicles, aren't they? So
if
you touch one and it sets off about 20 vehicles.
Yeah, if you move the toy box, you've just got about 100 different sirens going off. And sometimes, really unsettlingly, they go off randomly in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Just as you're drifting off to sleep, and you see.
I generally do think it's a ghost, which I keep getting told is stupid. But my go-to
it's a toy.
My go-to parenting advice is, I always say, like, oh, I'm so sorry, boy, that's come out of batteries. It hasn't. I just take the batteries out and say, you've not got any left. What a shame.
And hide them.
Yeah.
When your hands can't find them.
So at this point, I think I was making notes, like, oh, bloody kids' toys. And you see the daughter give the youngest son the space shuttle. I didn't see him take the batteries, though.
No, he goes back from, she hands him the space shuttle and makes a shush symbol. And then just as they're all heading out the store, you see him just quickly dash back and grab the batteries. And you immediately think, no.
I will just throw out Darwinism.
Is that some natural selection?
Yeah.
If that kid's stupid enough to take the batteries, he deserves not to be alive anymore. That 4-year-old child.
Of which we have a 4-year-old.
Who is stupid enough to take said batteries. Yeah.
So you see her. It is a bit harsh for them.
Very harsh. He's 4. He just wants a rocket. He just wants a rocket toy. Think of how miserable his little life is. And has been for the last 90 days. 3 months. He's been walking around, not been able to talk, not having any toys, but and he just sees a nice rocket.
I'm being horrible.
Calling it natural selection, the poor sod.
Yeah, jumping ahead on that.
Speaking of kids' toys, though.
Yeah.
You know what would be the biggest killer?
What?
Lego.
Oh, didn't it just?
The amount of parents who'd have died in that film because they trod on a bastard bit of Lego. Gone.
The cars would be monster truck. I fell down the stairs, didn't I?
You did fall down the stairs on a monster truck, yeah. Yeah, we if there was a Lego in this house, we wouldn't be able to walk by now.
Why would it? Why?
We ripped up, I think, the shreds.
Bloody Lego. People with kids who've got Lego, absolutely.
we can't do it.
Just couldn't do it.
We're not able to do it.
We can't do it. So yeah, so you see them walking away from the store with all their stock, and they're heading back to camp, I suppose, and they're walking on the sand.
Yeah.
And like I said before, the film is so, so quiet. All of a sudden, you just hear this piercing, jarring sound of the space shuttle.
Yeah, so he's at the back, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's popped the batteries in, and then he's just stood still, he's pressing a button, flying the rocket round, and you just hit the rocket round.
Oh. And it is literally awful.
It just cuts right through you, and it's been utter silence before then.
If any of you follow us on Instagram, if I'll give you details at the end of the podcast, there's actually a video that pointed to me watching this precise moment of the film, and it basically sums it up.
This is the moment of the film that I needed to capture.
Yeah.
Because this is literally where it all goes downhill rapidly from here.
Massive, massive spoiler. So you see, it cuts the daughter, and you can hear her silence.
Yeah.
And then
she
obviously has no idea. You see the mum cover her mouth, dad run towards him, and that's when you see the rustling in the trees, and you see the alien for the first time.
Yeah, it's coming, and then the trees are up, and you see the dad running, and you think, oh, it's kicking off now, the dad's going to grab him, and we're going to be in a big chase, and they're going to have to get away, and it's so quick in the film, and that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But that's not what happens, is it?
No. Shocking. Actually shocking.
The kid.
Gone.
Dad's about, 3 foot away, and then...
Yeah. Gone.
That kid is out of there.
Which brings me to my next point. I think after watching Bird Box, where you don't see this thing...
I wondered how long it would take you to reference Bird Box.
Well, I actually enjoyed that film. I don't know how I felt at this precise moment in time without actually seeing the alien. I think it's difficult, I suppose, sometimes to actually portray this particular...
It's a very quick glimpse at the beginning, isn't it? And it's sort of, you just sort of see like limbs, don't you?
Yeah, and I was a bit disappointed.
Limbs and a blur, and you're a bit
And like a weird grey colour.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's a bit
It was fine in horror films. Like, when the minute you see what it is.
Like in Insidious.
Yes, Insidious. You know, you see it as a shadow, and it points the finger, and you're like, Jesus, what is that thing? And then you see it later, and he's like, half man, half goat, and he's painted red.
And you're like, oh.
Seriously, what is that thing? Like,
what even is that?
You spent this whole time making me absolutely terrified, and now I'm not bothered anymore.
Yeah, exactly that.
And then on the flip side, you've got like Bird Box or the Blair Witch Project, the classic.
You just never see it.
You never see anything.
So for me, that's more terrifying.
Yeah, you just make it all up in your own brain.
I've got quite an active imagination as well, shocking me. So that hence the, if it's going to make salmon, it's like I've seen many a film where you see a toy suddenly slides towards you and you're like, ghost.
I can't believe you go to Ghost and not Toy Story.
I never thought that. That's what I thought about my brain. That's quite terrifying.
That's just changed your perspective on life.
Really
completely. Like, light bulb's just gone off.
Totally sin, am I?
Oh, no. No, because he tortures them.
Oh, don't do that.
Destroys toys.
I can't even wrap up teddy bears because I think they can't breathe. Did I give like a friend's kid a teddy bear or a doll? I literally hate wrapping it up. They might not be able to breathe. I hate it. I'll put it in a bag. Poor little thing.
So you'd rather put it in a bag, like a plastic, so you suffocate it in a plastic bag.
Like a little gift bag, so it's got a little bit of room to breathe. Poke
holes in the sock!
You just tuck it up in a little tissue thing, like a blanket, and then you'd be like, here you go.
You're such a dick.
Thanks. If anyone else wants to say, let me know. But like, generally, it's a general thing. Like,
if anyone else is really paranoid, they're going to suffocate a toy bear, get in touch. Well, I mean, with us or the RSPCA, apparently.
That's generally how I feel. Anyways, going back to it, I suddenly come to realise that there's no backstory. So you don't actually know, like, when they got, well, obviously it came back 89 days previous, you don't know, like, what they are, like, what happened.
No, you know nothing.
No.
Nothing.
It's just, like, here they are in a shop.
As opposed to Bird Box, when they go back and show you, like, you still know nothing.
Yeah.
But they go back and show you, like, the first day or whatever, and this day 89, kid dead, black screen, day, well, it's like a year later, isn't it?
Yeah, 472.
Like a whole year's passed, and you're like, oh, you're not gonna go back to the beginning and like,
show that.
No, you're just gonna keep
going. You're just following his family, yeah. Yeah. But I did look up, in case anyone is interested, according to Wikipedia, the wife's name's Evelyn. Obviously, that actress is Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
The dad is Lee. And that's Josh or
John.
Or John, even. I can't pronounce his surname.
John Krasinski. Okay. Emily Blunt's real life husband.
Oh, my God, that's adorable. Aww. I don't know the actors' names for the children, but the daughter's Reagan.
I know the daughter, the actress, I know her first name for the daughter, and it's Millicent. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what her surname is.
No. And then there's Marcus. I'm guessing Bo is the one who's dead.
Bo's the dead one, yeah. Oh. I also saw, jumping ahead, there's a baby in the film later. We'll get there. But I also looked up the twins that play the baby.
Oh.
And I can't remember what the girl's name is, but the boy is called Ezekiel.
What a name.
Yeah. See? Told you it was a great name, didn't I?
It's a great name.
Never listened to me.
So yeah, it opens up on day 472, which my maths was shocking, which we worked out as about a year and a bit ahead, isn't it?
Yeah, so a year and 2 weeks or something, I think.
And she's preggers.
She is pregnant, yeah.
Just what you need in the middle of that alien will kill you if you make a sound type thing. Like
a screaming child.
Yeah, I was like, how are they going to stop the baby from screaming? And then you look at me going, like, just watch.
Just watch, yeah.
And they show you, basically, it's like a box with an oxygen tank. It's like a little coffin box for a baby.
Effectively, they've made it a coffin crib, yeah, with an oxygen tank. And it's got wrapped in loads of blankets. You wouldn't get away with that in real life, would you? Because someone would be there with a thermometer, like they are with, if you're all over Facebook. If your baby's in this coffin box, the inside temperature is 138 degrees.
Don't be putting those passes over those blankets, lady, over those pushchairs.
Yeah, don't cover it with a God, you'll be named and chained on Facebook. Oh, your baby's brain will have boiled into mush.
Yep, just don't do it. I mean,
on a serious note, don't do it, but without the hysteria.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, in all honesty, I guess if you've got to carry on the human race in this random, don't make a sound kind of a world. But I mean, seriously, I'll be tracking my periods and being like, no.
As opposed to when you aren't tracking your periods and you're just like, no.
Yeah. Or yes.
But mostly, no.
But at this point, we paused it and realized we're 20 minutes into the film and there was no speaking. Unlike this podcast, we're about 21 minutes in and we've done nothing but talk. So.
Waffle. That was a better word.
So you see like the little living conditions, pretty dwarfs. They've done pretty good, haven't they?
A little farm, doing all right.
And then they cut to the children, so the two surviving children playing Monopoly.
Yeah, before we get on to the dangers of Monopoly, you did make a point about the farm, lovely and everything, but they had a certain thing growing at the farm and you were just like, why?
Corn, fucking corn.
How noisy is corn? Cornfield. Yeah. How are they going to go and pick it? Like, that's noisy AF.
Yeah.
Madness.
I know, that
was... I was with you on that. I'd be like, totally, if it don't grow underground, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
But then also, I suppose, defensively...
You could hear them coming.
And stop any of the survivors coming in, because if they have to go through the cornfield...
Yeah, true.
But true. Yes, Monopoly.
Why would you do that?
Why? No, replace all the pieces, don't they? Yeah, there's no metal pieces, still, like, no hotels, but... Who's ever played Monopoly without arguing?
Yeah, definitely not your family.
Definitely not your family. Definitely not any family.
I think my family would have played it, really, because we Danger. Are just too nice to each other.
Yeah, you wouldn't be if you played Monopoly, though.
Probably not.
Especially with the wine that would have to go with it.
Yeah. So there's that. Basically, there's a little altercation. I don't think it's anything serious. I think the girl, like, knocks over this lamp, doesn't she? And she sets it on
fire. Oh, yeah, they have sort of a joking
little
ruckus and, knock over an oil lamp.
Yeah.
Causes mini fire. Dad straight into action with a blanket and the old
and then you can
does that a lot then he
banging on yeah lips. And that's like when we used to be younger at school and she'd like fingers on lips show you're being quiet. I tried to do that with boys, it didn't work, it's just like an absolute winter. So then it cuts to, I can't think anything else happens after that. I think it's just showing them by hearing the banging, you know they're around.
Raccoons.
The raccoon.
There's raccoons on the roof, and they're walking across, and then they jump down by the window, and you were like, and the dad takes it sort of in stride, doesn't he? Yeah. Just like, whoo, that was just raccoons, and you were like, what?
Dead again.
Yeah, another moment. Gone.
And then the raccoon gets taken, or eaten, and you see, like, something grab it out, it's armed protrudes from the corn, and then just takes the raccoon.
Do you?
I think you do. Just made that up.
I don't remember. Because once I saw that of raccoons, I sort of stopped paying attention.
No. I've sort of, I think it happens, I don't know. But anyway, it cuts.
That might have happened, it might not. Let us know.
Yeah. Seriously.
Clarify it for us.
They cut to day 473, which is obviously the next day, and you see her sat on the floor, and she puts the thermometer, she's taking like her,
the mum.
Yeah, the blood pressure.
The mum taking her blood pressure.
And then she listens to the baby walking.
Yeah, with like the world's best stethoscope.
I know, but they can hear it though, midwife.
Not like that.
Midwife listens to you, something like that.
That was blatantly like you hear on an ultrasound, like, she's got the loudest stethoscope known to mankind. You do hear the baby, yeah, and it's alive. If they wanted to make it really bleak, you wouldn't have heard the baby.
Yeah.
And then that would have just turned it from a horror film to just a horrible film.
Yeah, generally horrible. But you see her, like, going about her business, isn't she? She's, like, doing washing, and she pulls up a nail.
Yes, so she goes up the stairs with the wash bag, and it's stuck, doesn't it? Just to pull it, and a nail comes up. Pulls up a nail on the stairs, so it's pointing straight up.
Yeah, but she just knows bad news.
You spent the next 30 minutes of the film, every time there was, I was going to say every time it was quiet, but it's quite a lot, but every time there was sort of a slower pace bit going, that nail's coming back.
Yeah.
That nail was coming back.
You
were very upset about the nail.
I mean, lots of stuff happens in this film, which I'm not going to go into, because I'm going to spoil the whole film, so I've just literally picked up bits that I thought would be good to discuss.
Oh, is that not the whole point? Kind of spoiling the whole film anyway, aren't we?
I know, but there's just key bits in it I think it's worth discussing. And one of them is, you see the daughter go over to where Bo lost his life. And there's the grave erected, isn't there? Like that little stone. And do you know what's freaky, guys? Is that it says on there, it's like he's got his name on it, and it was from 2016 to 2020.
Yeah, just...
Couldn't that have been more fitting?
Just, I mean, again, highlighting what a terrible year 2020 is.
Yeah. Mental.
I read a thing the other day about all the things that happened in 2020, and honestly, if they made a horror film 10 years ago and said all of this stuff would happen in a year, you'd be like, yeah, but it's ridiculous, because all of that couldn't happen. It's a film. No, it's
take away the aliens. You know, you can't see your family. You know, you're kind of quarantined in your home. You're all carrying masks and stuff. You know, the shops were basically pillaged. There was no toilet bowl, for goodness sake, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a bit where they have to go off and catch a fish from the river, isn't there?
Yeah, takes the son fishing.
So Lee and Marcus go off, and he's like, I don't want to go, don't make me go. And then the daughter's like, I want to go.
I want to go, yeah. And he says, no.
So they go to this, like, waterfall bit.
Basically sowing the seed that he blamed her for the little one being killed.
Exactly. And it's like, the mum says, but your dad has always got our back and protect us, and you need to learn this for when you have to look after me.
That's what she tells the boy. And that's the first time you sort of hear, when they're signing, you hear talking. A bit of whispering.
So this is when you find out in the film that if there's a noise in the background that's louder than you, you can actually talk. He takes them behind this waterfall
and they
show how safe he is.
Shout, just shouts. Yeah.
And that's when you hear them probably talking for the first time. And it is like, it's quite creepy.
Yeah.
To hear people talking out loud.
It unsettles you more. You've got so accustomed to the silence, because even the waterfall and the water is like, you kind of think, oh, I might need to turn this down, this is really loud. No, it's just because you've been in silence for so long.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you hit, when you have an actual conversation, you're like, oh my God, they're talking. We're like, what, 45 minutes into the film?
Yeah.
It's the first time you've actually heard someone's full volume voice.
Yeah, mental. So as they're leaving, they're like kind of in a better place. Like, dad says, oh, you know, I don't blame her, I love her, of course I do, because we should tell her. So you're like, oh, all the things, all the things. And as they're walking back through the forest, they're looking in this little creepy house, and then they see this elderly couple, don't they?
Yeah.
The lady's all kind of dead.
The lady's super dead, isn't she?
Yeah, and the guy's dead.
We don't know why.
No.
not sure.
No.
And the guy's just stood there. Yeah. He got them crazy eyes on, didn't he? Yeah. He's got crazy eyes.
Yeah, you know it's going
to
happen.
You know something mental is about to go down.
And
he pleads with him, doesn't he? Like, be quiet, don't.
And he just screams.
Screams at the top of his lungs, and then...
You see the aliens a bit more now, actually, quite creepy. Although he is a bit weird.
Come flying in, doesn't it? Yeah. Flies in, because he runs off to the sun, and then that old man, he's like,
gone off.
You're out there.
But it's the ear, like their whole little face, and they talk about the armour, don't they? They've got this like particular armour over them, which makes them quite difficult to kill.
But when there's a sound, they're like the whole head sort of opens up, and they've got
this big weird
giant ear. Acoustic thing.
Yeah, but they can't see.
No.
So.
Well, we assume that they don't have any eyes. No. They just armour and weird skull and ear.
So at this point, they're all kind of separate. So the girl's gone off somewhere on her own.
Yeah, gone off to where the boy died.
Yeah. Dad and son off collecting the fishes.
Yeah.
Mum on her own, water breaks.
Yeah.
Glorious.
And that's when you sort of know, it's going to kick off now.
Yeah. Like, bit terrifying. And then she steps in the old nail, doesn't she?
She does, yeah.
And that's because basically the alien... I wonder how there's an alien in there, isn't there?
There's an alien.
The alien comes in. Because that's how she sets a timer, doesn't she? It's really genius.
She drops something, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She drops something when her waters break. And then that's when she has to get out and she treads on the nail and you see her.
Oh, like that. Mate.
And then as she's going up the stairs, she sees it. Run across the stairs, so she's to go back down and see him. Yeah, she sets an oven timer as a distraction, and then
gets upstairs whilst all in labour.
Straight up in labour, making no noise whatsoever.
Could have bombed in my mouth. That nailed it. That was absolutely grim.
And you knew it was coming as well. You'd spent the rest of the film pointing out that it was going to come back to hurt someone, and it did.
It did. It's horrible. She like lays herself in a bar, and then she's like labouring also, the baby.
Also, back to the nail. There was no Home Alone vibe to that nail at all.
No.
But in Home Alone, the bloke treads on a nail and you're like, ha ha, bad luck, really. In this one, you're like, that nail is so in her foot.
That's
it's like really slow and
straight
in there and you
horrible.
Just kind of wince. And
she fits the lights on to red, doesn't she? There's like outside lights.
Yeah, so they've got lights outside in the farm, so she changes, they've got coloured bulbs and to change them to red so that as they come back they see all the red bulbs.
So like basically I think there's a couple of them in there, which is laying in the bar. So he says to the son that you've got to go off and set the fireworks off.
Yeah.
To make that sound that's louder.
Yep.
Than what's supposed to just distract them as well. So
just a firework party.
Yeah. But I mean, in all honesty, I give birth to R2 naturally. There were sunroof babies.
Sunroof babies, yeah.
So I've never had that pleasure of giving birth naturally. And I know, like, some women, like, yawn and earth-side, like, cowardly, push them out. Other women, like, really sort of silently power through it.
But she really silently
silently powers through it. Until the fireworks go off, and she has, like, this one sound. I'm like, seriously?
And you get, they build the tension there quite well, don't they? Because it's, like, creeping around. She's in a bathtub.
Yeah.
And
bleeding.
It's like there, isn't it? It's like right outside. And you, very well acted. Well done, Emily.
Yeah.
If you're listening, probably not. She might.
It was actually, quite an impactful moment, I think, for me. I actually really, because I think from the experience that I had at the very beginning, it was pretty uncomfortable. But the thought of having to fully push out a human being and not make a sound because something could kill you.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Again, very tense. Another very tense moment.
So, so the baby's here, Earthside.
Earthside?
That's what you say, the baby's Earthside.
Who says that?
Everyone.
I've literally never heard that in my life.
We've got Wombside, like it's in the womb. And you birth a baby Earthside.
Alright.
Yeah, baby's here. And he finds it, doesn't he, in the shower, once he's got rid of the aliens.
Yeah, so he goes up. Sees a button. Sorry, Earthside.
Yeah.
I've literally never heard that before.
Haven't you?
You sound like one of them hippie New Age mums.
I'm definitely not one of those.
Oh, the baby's earth side. We better go to Waitrose and get some organic meat couscous that the baby can't eat, but it'll make my breast milk so fantastic. Earth side. Yeah, he goes into the he goes into the bathroom, and the bathtub's got blood in it, and he's kind of no one to be found, and he's like, what? And then she bangs on the glass.
Yes, on the shower. Yeah.
I can't remember. The fireworks, I think, were still going off, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, my first thought every time I see that is like, why are you banging on the glass? That is loud.
Oh, my God. And the baby's just crying, isn't it? It's terrifying.
No, the baby's quiet then.
The baby, long, though.
He scoops them up, doesn't he? And he takes them to the barn bit where they've got an underground.
Covered with mattresses.
Covered with a mattress, yeah. And literally, as they're getting in, the baby starts crying. He actually power walks, doesn't he? Full-on power walks with the shoulders. Mask swing. On it and... Gets the oxygen mask in it, puts it in his coffin.
Yeah. And she's having a well-deserved rest.
She's knackered, yeah.
But the other two are obviously still missing. So you see the son runs off through the cornfields.
Yeah. Why?
Underneath the tractor.
He runs into the tractor, doesn't he? And knocks himself out.
And the daughter comes along. And they find each other. So they're together. They say we have to go to a place where they can find us.
Yeah.
And then, so once he's made sure that his wife's sort of settled and the baby's not screaming, he goes off to try and find them. But then there's like a little flood starts happening, isn't there?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't even know how it starts.
I don't really see it, then. You see him go up the stairs and then you see it cut to all this water
flooding in. Yeah, in. So, of course there's blood, like, not blood. That's Shining, isn't it?
Have you seen The Shining?
No, I've just seen that because we watched that Player One.
Oh, Ready Player One, yeah.
Yeah, you see that bit.
Oh, you've not seen The Shining?
No.
That could be an episode. but, yeah, blood coming in would be super weird.
Horrendous. Water started, like, coming in. So that you see them, like, the daughter's not trusting the dad, she's like, he's not going to come.
Yeah, he doesn't love me.
All that stuff. And then they end up on top of this, like,
silo.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got fire lit, haven't they?
Yeah, and then they fall in.
The boy falls in.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like quicksand, isn't it? It's sort of drowning in it.
But previous to that, you notice that actually, now what is that hearing aid? I can't remember what it's called. A hearing aid that isn't, she said it's not working, so they've been working on making her new, the end of the sea, called, it's like,
I'm looking at you so confused.
Oh, you are.
But hearing aid doesn't work.
Yeah.
Which we discover, and early in the film, he's trying to repair it. He's got like a book on the ear, and he's been salvaging parts to try and make a hearing aid work, and he's working on different frequencies or something like that.
So,
I don't know what the C word you're reaching for is.
It's not that C word. Anyway, does it work? And she says something like, no, I'm going to put that in.
Is it cochleal implant?
That's the one.
Because that's that bit in your ear.
I
don't know if that's what the hearing aid is. I don't know enough about hearing aids.
I don't either. Apologies in advance.
She's got the one where it goes on her ear and then there's a bit attached to her head, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a cochleal
implant. But there's like a bit where she's like, I don't want to put that in. They never work. They don't work. Anyway, she puts this one on, doesn't she? And the frequency from that seems to really interfere with the alien's head.
Does she do that in the corn silo?
Yes, because that's what
she
gets
him. Yeah, she gets him out, doesn't she? Because he's like drowned. She helps him, and then one gets in.
Yeah. And it sets it off.
She puts a hearing aid, and you get that high pitch frequency. See,
and that's what seems to really interfere with its head.
Yeah, it's scarf has done it. But all you hear is that high pitch buzzing.
Yeah, and it's like agony. You think, oh man, that's just.
No wonder it. Bloody ran off. That's horrible.
And then she's suffering as well, which is a bit shit. So at this point, it then comes back to Emily, laid in her bed, recovering from this horrendous labour, and you just see one of the aliens rise from the water.
You say horrendous labour, but it's over pretty quickly, like...
It is, but you still can't make a sound.
Bar the stress and having to be quiet.
And shredding on a nail.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wasn't including that as part of labour, that's treading on the nail. But if she could have made some noise, like, I think a lot of women would have taken her labour because it was about 4.5 minutes long.
Do you know weird women out there who actually labour like that? They don't make a sound, they just have a bit of gas and air and just, like, power through it.
Yeah, see, she'd have been all right, gas and air.
Yeah.
It's over so quickly, she'd have been so busy gas and air, and she wouldn't have wanted to make an air.
Yeah. But there's one in the room with her, coming out of the water. I was like, how long has that thing been there with her?
Yeah.
Fuck my life.
And she moves behind a little waterfall.
I wanted to fast forward that bit, and that is an hour and 3 minutes into the film, and I put a punch in the face. I can't believe you made me watch it, is what went through my head. Bastards. Legitimately, punch in the face. Fucking hated you.
Brilliant. I knew this would be a good one to pick.
Honestly, it was awful. So anyways, he gets... So they get really united, don't they? The dad and the kids.
Yeah, he's got the kids.
And then he's just like, run, the kids are saying, I think we should run to the little truck.
Yeah.
Oh, and this bit gave me all the feels.
All the feels.
Oh, I actually feel a little weak.
Huge spoiler inbound.
Oh.
The biggest spoiler after the whole film, probably. Or the podcast, or whatever.
Whatever. So, he's there. And he signs to her that he's always loved her.
So they get attacked, don't they?
Yeah.
And they get to the truck.
But she turns her hearing aid off.
And she turns her hearing aid off again, yeah, which was helpful. But she turns it off again because she probably can't focus. Yeah. Yeah. And then they're getting attacked and the dad takes... One of them leaps off the roof, doesn't it? So the kids are in the truck. The dad's outside. He's got an axe. One of them leaps off the roof. And he swings for it, but it cuts right across him. Side to side, massive things. And then it's attacking the kids in the truck.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets up, he's back on his feet, and he looks at her and he's signing. And he says, I've always loved you. And she's like, you know, she's starting to get upset. And then, what does he do then?
Screams,
top of his voice.
Yeah. I nearly forgot then. That was like the Inception moment.
It was, yeah. Nearly forgot the big massive event at the end of the film.
I was so hot, like, just trying not to cry again. Oh, it's such a gorgeous moment. It's sad, but, it gave me all the feels out of it.
Yeah.
The kids get away, don't they?
Kids, yeah, he lets the boy lets the handbrake off the truck and it rolls back towards the house and the dad is no more. He's gone.
He's a goner.
Absolute goner. The only problem with that is the truck rolls towards the house and your first thought is, oh, they got away, they're safe. And you're like, no, they're not safe because now it's the woman, the newborn baby, two kids. Literally none of the aliens have died.
And also they only have a hat written down, he has like a big board, didn't he? That's like their armour, they have no weaknesses.
Yeah, what's their weakness?
And I think he only seen two. Three?
Three. He's confirmed there's three in the area, but that's
a
minimum.
That's it.
So yeah, you're like, when they get away, and you're like, phew, they got away, and you're like, hang on, no, they're not any better off.
No, because the only difference now is the
bloke who was there who could swing an axe, which did nothing anyway, but he could swing it, he's dead.
What about the baby now?
And the mum has not only got to try and look after the two odd kids, but a baby, she's just given birth, how well is she going to be able to protect them?
Yeah.
Because she is not in a good way.
No. But I think, I can't remember, because all I've written down really is that basically the daughter works out that how to get rid of them.
Yeah, so
there's one in the house, isn't there?
They're in his workshop bit, aren't they? And the boy's got the baby, the baby's crying, and the mum gets a gun from somewhere. I can't remember where she gets a gun. And one comes down the stairs and it's basically coming from. And...
She puts her hearing aid to the microphone.
No, so she turns her hearing aid on and the buzzing starts and it goes loopy again.
It's like weird little head stuff.
It's
like
his little head open right up, done it, and close up again and it's like as if the sound has got something in its brain upsetting it. And then she moves the hearing aid to the microphone, doesn't she, at full volume, and that sends it absolutely loopy.
And then the mum shoots it.
Yeah,
and it
crashes
dies.
Around, falls down, you think it's dead, and then it gets up one last time, and its head's open, and the mum blasts it right in the brain.
Now, the bit that I found the creepiest was that then you see, obviously, that big bang's gone off. There's no other sort of background. background noise.
Yeah.
So you see the CCTV footage of loads of them running towards the house.
Yeah.
And that was actually pretty creepy.
Were they running towards or are they running away? Because they don't get attacked again, do they? And you see them leave the house.
No, they don't. I thought I said that, but all you saw was the mum and daughter look at each other and smile.
I always thought they were running away.
Did you? I thought they were
Heard the sound and were running away from it.
Well, I thought they were running towards
it. Oh, I'm confused. Did you see them leave the house at the end? I thought you saw them leave the house.
No, you just saw, I don't know if you like cocked the gun again.
Oh yes, that's right. It ends with a re-cocking the gun, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I thought they were running to the house.
I'm confusing the fact that you see them leaving the house because that's the trailer for the sequel.
That
comes out next year. It should have been out already, but, you know, COVID.
So, yeah, I was like, girl ladies.
Girl power.
Yeah.
That moment when you're thinking, oh, the mum's had labour. How is she going to protect them?
Protecting her baby.
She's deaf. What fight's she going to put up? The boy's not exactly proving himself to be thing. No, he's got no confidence with him. There's a baby. Like, the one person you thought could look after him and had been looking after him is gone, so you think, well, they're all gone now, and then no, they step up the main a big way.
Yeah, I mean, the little boy is like proper big brother in, so he's like taking on that care role, but yeah, the women are kicking some ass.
They are, yeah.
It's good. And that's it.
And then it ends. Yeah.
So yeah.
That does end sort of on a happy note, I guess.
I guess so.
As happy as it probably could have.
I mean, had I watched that 4 years ago, not knowing there's going to be a sequel, I'd be like, oh, it's open for a sequel.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it is.
There is one.
Yeah. So.
That'll be another episode when that finally comes out.
Yeah, so I did enjoy it. I think you were right. It's like another Inception. I'll probably not watch it again. It's too much fast forwarding.
It can't still be tense. You know what happens.
Oh, but it's still not watching it. You know, I'm just kind of done with it. Yeah.
This is going well so far. I'm 0-2 on films you might watch again.
So do you want me to give you my one word?
Yeah, you've got to do your one word review.
The old thesaurus thing again. Are you ready for this one?
Probably not. I wasn't ready for the last one, so.
Discombobulation was a good word.
That was a good word, but I'm just saying I wasn't ready for it.
Actually, it's another one that gives it a diss.
You love a diss?
I didn't mean to, but it's kind of fits in. Disquietude.
Disquietude?
Yeah. It's a state of uneasiness.
Anxiety. Aren't you fancy?
Ask me like you would do a spelling bee. Use it in a sentence.
What, spell it? Or?
No, use it in a sentence.
Can you use it in a sentence?
So, to sum up this film, watch this film in a state of disquietude.
Oh, you look so smug right now.
Yeah.
Paul, you're missing Hayley's smug face.
The most intelligent I've sounded in years. I can't even say it properly. Most intelligent I've sounded? Wait, is that even a word?
Most intelligent I've sounded in years. So disquietude.
Disquietude.
How many stars out of five?
We're getting it quite bad.
Three again.
Yeah.
I've got up in the game, haven't I?
Yeah, I've got up the game.
I'll try and find a 5-star.
Yeah, maybe watch next time.
So, this was a tense film.
Mm.
You hate tense films.
I do.
But there's one type of film that you hate even more than tense films.
War films.
You hate war films.
What are you making me watch? I've seen Saving Private Ryan, so it can't be that.
You have seen Saving Private Ryan. You're never watching that again. I already know. But it's disqualified from the podcast because you've already seen it.
That's fine.
You haven't seen 1917.
Ooh, there is combat in that though. I like a bit of combat.
Yeah, I'm gonna break it to you now. There's not a lot of combat in that film. But it's a bit different to what your perception of war films is.
Okay.
And it's more about it's more personal.
Okay.
Than your standard war film. Less characters involved.
Okay.
So you might be able to remember some names.
Cool.
But also it's the unique war film in that it's shot as one continuous thing. Or as you'll learn, two continuous takes, but you'll see that. So You will. Cool. It'll make sense when we watch it.
Okay.
But so it's less about the violence of the thing of the war and more about a more personal story
Brotherhood.
And a style of film. So it's a bit, okay. bit of a twist on a war film, so it'll be interesting to see what you think of it.
Okay, fine.
It's not what you're expecting. I know that because I went to the cinema to see it and was expecting one thing. All I knew about it was the continuous shot of the film. But, you know, set in World War One, war film, you've got a certain expectation. And about three quarters of the way through, I realised this isn't the film I thought it was going to be. It's totally different.
Okay.
And that.
Okay. Fine. So. Yeah, I'm
grumpy face.
Anyway, so if you would like to get in touch, then feel free to. You can follow us on our Instagram page, which is Hayley_watches. Or if you fancy emailing us, you can.
You're so fancy.
I know, right? It's HayleyWatches2020@gmail.com. So you can email us with any suggestions or any like films you think we should watch, maybe together, or just say hi. I like to make new friends.
You do like making new friends. I had a thought as well, so if anyone wants to, if anyone gets in touch, they've got maybe film suggestions, obviously we'll let you know if Hayley's already seen it, and thus it's disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if we should get a lot of emails, hint, hint, email us, or a lot of messages on Instagram, another hint, get on it. If we were to get lots and lots, maybe with thoughts on, you know, their own reviews or thoughts on the episode, things they might agree with that you've said, things they might strongly disagree with, things that we might have said about the film that are totally wrong and need correcting.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is possible.
I like to learn.
Probable, I think, for that word, possible. Suggestions for things like that, but if we get a lot of comments and things, maybe we'll have a bonus episode in between. So for instance, if we were to get like 50 emails with people's thoughts on
50? That's a bit of a...
Well, there'd need to be quite a few emails to make a whole bonus episode, wouldn't there? Like, if there was 10, it'd be over pretty quick. I mean, we could still do it.
I just think 50 people listening to us,
would it? We've had 50 for the first episode.
Ooh.
50, so...
Plausible, then.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe, share.
Yeah.
Leave reviews, 5-star ratings preferably.
Please.
4 stars if you're being honest. I mean, we don't want to brag.
You don't want to lose your America, stay with us.
But yes, if we get, for instance, if we get a lot of emails of people with a lot of views maybe that we didn't touch upon for A Quiet Place. So in between, if every episode is 2 weeks, maybe in between we could have
a bonus round.
Bonus episode, your thoughts on A Quiet Place. Or even going back to Inception.
Please, because I honestly, that film has blown my mind.
Yeah, to be fair, if you can help explain Inception to Hayley as well, then definitely get that. She's still reeling from Inception. And he's got a new film out, Christopher Nolan.
I've watched that, I've got another thing I'm not going to get.
Do you know what? I've watched the trailer for that and was like, I've got no idea what this film's about, but I really want to watch it.
Yeah.
Could be a more Christopher Nolan film. Yes? Same again. What was the email again?
HayleyWatches2020@gmail.com.
What was the Instagram again?
Hayley_watches.
Excellent. And tell your friends to listen to Hayley Watches.
Yeah, share a love. Hope this one made your hump day better.
We can only hope. And until next time.
Catch you soon. Stay safe.
Ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.